101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, by the way, Erin doing great. Got good news. Got a good report yesterday. She's been released to kind of work from home coming up. And so she'll be back hopefully toward the middle of next week. Louis Avalone graciously agreeing to come in and fill those great big. She does not wear high heel shoes.
Maybe you want to stay away from that.
She does not wear high heel shoes.
But thank you. Louis, thank you.
Thank you for coming in studio with us. I'm really looking forward to this. Dennis Bamber Jr., representative for Louisiana. You were part of a contingency of 250 lawmakers from across the country that got invited to Israel. Tell us about how this came about, and I want to know about this trip.
Well, beautiful things come of the air show at Barksdale Air Force Base. I met Barbara Joseph there, had a conversation with her, and next thing I know, I'm getting an email about there are 250 legislators from across the country going to Israel, and would I be trip? And that message came from the Israeli consulate. And so we kind of go down that path, and you know, a lot of things were happening in Israel at that point. And so
this is back in September before the peace agreement came about.
Before the peace agreement. Yeah. But it was kind of a lull in what the action was going on over there and all that kind of stuff. So the biggest sales process I think I've had to do is selling my wife on the ability to get over to Israel during this time. And so we got on the phone with the Israeli consulate, and they said, hey, if we can protect Benjamin Netanyahu, I think we can probably protect Dennis Bamberg. And I said, well, that makes a lot of sense. And so my wife kind of, heels in the ground, dug in, reluctantly said, man, you can't miss this trip. And so we decided to make it over there.
So tell us a little bit about the logistically. I mean, what happened? You got to visit the October 7th attack site?
Man, that was probably the most eye-opening part of the whole trip was we got to go do the Bible things and all that kind of stuff with
the Holy Land,
Jerusalem, and that was really cool. But when you got to the October 7th grounds where these atrocities occurred, you realize, I think you start moving the needle as far as what would America do if they killed that many of our citizens? And I think the fight is over these college campuses of how could they be doing that? And I'm like, what do you think America would do, the U.S. would do if they killed, I think somebody said it would be like killing 38,000 Americans in one day.
And these protests, that's why they're so offensive. These Free Palestine protests and these pro Hamas demonstrators.
It is, and I can't believe that's going on in our country.
I can't either.
And after you get over there and you get to these grounds where these happen, and you see and you talk to people that live in these kibbutz, that some of the ground zero stuff that happened, and they were fighting over doors with the fathers. I mean, look, every house down there in the Gaza envelope, they had a bomb shelter, but they're not prepared for people, for terrorists to come in and try to open the door, so they don't have locks on the doors, right? Wow. So now you hear stories of fathers that are holding the doors, and the terrorists, Hamas is pulling on the other side, and if they get it cracked open, they drop a grenade in there and shrapnel's all over the room. We saw it. I mean, we saw it with our own eyes. We saw where they shot through the doors, shot through portalettes that were out there on these campgrounds at the Nova campgrounds, where they had basically a Woodstock type deal.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was supposed to happen at sunrise. And that was, it was not a sunrise that will be remembered for a long time.
Absolutely horrifying. What did you learn in Israel that you wish every American understood about Israel's fight for survival here?
I think I learned mostly that Israel wanted Hamas and Gaza to be gone in 4 hours. It could happen.
Right. Yeah.
It could happen in a matter of moments. But they drop pamphlets before they go in, where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing. They gave us a deal that showed the amount of calories per person in that Gaza area of the food that they were dropping off. And so they were trying to do everything humanitarianly possible to tell people, this is about to happen. Here's plenty of food that people that need to try to survive in this area. It's unfortunate. But, you know, and the other thing that we got to visit with Netanyahu, and he basically said that everybody thinks all these families were in the Gaza Strip were just sitting in the corners hiding from everybody, but they were sitting over there with grenade launchers and M16s and all these kind of weaponry that they were trying to kill our soldiers. And so I think the changing of the thought process around what really is going on over there was kind of the most impactful to me as a legislator.
And that was the purpose of this, of bringing all these legislatures from across the country to Israel. What was the purpose of this envoy?
I don't know. I mean, that could have been the purpose. I think they just wanted to show us, I mean, because we looked at a lot of the cool parts of their economy and what they do with water conservation and all this. But I believe that might have been the pretense of getting us over there and letting us know really what to know about these events that maybe we didn't.
Do you think some of that may be because of the rise in anti-Semitism in our country, that they felt like it was necessary to have all of the legislators, most of the legislators in our country, come over and see their side of the story?
I think so. I kind of liken it to, you know, Louisiana these days. I mean, sometimes we don't go tell our best story, and I think that's problematic for Louisiana. I mean, everybody probably knows that we're first in the worst things and worst in the first in the best things, and I think that's the montage you start hearing. But if you start changing the legislature that I serve in, I think we are trying to change the mentality and telling about the great things that are happening in Louisiana. I believe Israel's trying to do the same thing and trying to say, get the bad information out of the minds of the people in America.
Right.
Because you see it on college campuses these days. And I think there's a battle for these students on information. Maybe they should have taken some five people from every college campus across the country instead of five legislators. That might have been more impactful.
That's a very interesting, kind of like the kibbutz. I mean, everybody growing up in Israel is required to serve in the military.
That's right. We saw a lot of very young people carrying machine guns over there, and that's just part of their service. And you can tell they have a pride in their country when it comes down to it. And so I might try to pass a bill on something like that in our area. So
we were also talking about the impact that Charlie Kirk's death has had on those young people. And I want to talk about that. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. Louis Avalone in for Aaron. Dennis Bamberg, representative in studio. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel grid.
Get back to the show with Micah McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Representative Dennis Bamberg in studio, Mike and McCarty, Louis Avalone in for Aaron. Just going back to your recent trip to Israel, Louis, you made a great point about it. It's just, I think we're all probably fathers. I can't imagine trying to literally hold a door closed while terrorists are trying to yank the door open and your family is behind you.
Yeah.
And you got to see.
You walk in the room and it's in every home in the kibbutz. There's a bomb shelter in every home in the kibbutz because they had 10 seconds to respond to the alerts that go off. And so you can just imagine you're in there with your loved ones. That's it. I mean, it's you and your family.
Right.
Your neighbors are in theirs and you're in a all out battle against a terrorist over a door opening because they're prepared for bombs to go off. They're not prepared for people to come in and actually try to push the doors open so you don't have a lock on it. And That'll leave a mark with you. You know, that's something that's very impactful, and you can see yourself in that situation and just try to understand how those people were feeling that day.
And for those just joining us, Representative Dennis Bamberg recently came back from Israel. A contingency of 250 legislators from across the country upon Israel's invitation, and you guys all took the same plane.
Same plane. We all got to JFK and then got on one airplane. And
I'm kind of surprised they let that happen. Because if something happened to that plane, that's a lot of representation gone.
That's right. We'd have to have a special election in Louisiana.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Across the country. But now, speaking of legislation, special session begins tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tell us about what you'll be working on in this special session.
This kind of goes back to the, you know, one of the first votes we made was some to change some congressional districting that actually had some South Shreveport being covered from a East Baton Rouge representative congressional representation. And I didn't vote for that when it came out last time. And so there's been some thought process to try to rectify that situation. It is in the hands of the Supreme Court now, as
right.
we sit today. They heard, I think the hearings on that were early this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just kind of going to go in, I believe. I mean, it's an open call, so there's we'll see what bills are run because we don't know that yet. But my understanding is we're just going to change some dates back to give us some time to respond to their deliberations and their whenever they come out and rule on that case, it'll give us some time to act appropriately and do what we need to do as a legislature.
Is there an expected timeline from the Supreme Court? Do we?
I don't know if there's a way to expect it.
Right.
I've heard some December timelines and different things like that, trying to clear it up before the end of the year. And that gives us the timeline that we're hoping for, that we can respond to what they do.
Okay. But that decision from the Supreme Court could come as late as June 30th, which is when the United States Supreme Court recesses. And I call is an open call. And I think I saw where it was stated that no maps will be redrawn. This is not what's going to happen here. But if it's an open call, isn't that still a possibility that the legislature could decide, you know what, we're not going to wait. Whatever the Supreme Court decides, we're going to redraw this because we believe this, as the state of Louisiana believes, that these maps are unconstitutional.
I believe it is a possibility. I do not think it's a probability. I don't think that there's any appetite at all to do that when we go in. I don't think there's a lot of people who don't want to put pressure on the Supreme Court, like we're trying to work around what they're trying to get accomplished. However, I do believe that the timing gives us some options to do some things to clarify that map and maybe put it back where it was at for a season. It just gives us some options.
Dennis Bamberg, tell me you're going to go watch a bunch of military guys get new tattoos, right?
Okay.
Is that what this is, a tattoo ceremony?
Where did this story come from? That's all I want to know.
We're going to catch Lewis up to date here. My office is working with Bossier Parish Schools, the students at Bossier Parish and Bossier Parish Community College, to put on a Veterans Day program on November 7th at 10 a.m. It's called a tattoo ceremony. And so just for the public, no one is getting a tattoo in children in Bossier Parish.
Why is it called a tattoo ceremony?
There was, I guess in some place they became, it was when they told the troops to come back, turn off the tap. It means for the troops to come back in. It was a do dim tattoo is what they said. That means turn off the tap, and that told the soldiers to return to camp. And so that turned into do dim tattoo, to just shorten it. We get to tattoo. And so it's basically, we're going to have students sing. We're going to have drum lines. We're going to have
Celebrating our military.
It's going to be a very special event, celebrating 250 years this year. So we're not doing it on Veterans Day. We're doing it the Friday before. So I think we're just going to try to kick off this celebration of the United States out at Bossier Parish Community College at 10 o'clock. It's open to the public. And
November 7th.
It is a very special special environment. You'll cry, you'll laugh, you'll hit every emotion with this project. And it's we did it many years at Parkway High School, and so I've tried to move this where the community could have a role in this, and working with Bossier Parish Schools, Bossier Parish Community College, Colonel Haddon, and
that's all. Colonel Haddon?
Yeah, Colonel Haddon. He worked at Parkway High School for many years and kind of brought this idea into that school, and I just want the public to be able to see what happens. It's a really, really special
to be my next door neighbor. Thank you for coming out.
You bet.
We appreciate your time.
Thank y'all for having me.
We're going to have this. We're going to do this more often.
Sounds fair.
All right. Lewis Avalone in for Aaron. Representative Dennis Bamberg Jr. Micah McCarty coming up, by the way, Independence Bowl update with Independence Bowl Director Missy Setters. 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Well, of course, too early to determine teams, but let's get an update on the Independence Bowl with Director Missy Setters coming up just after the break. Mike and McCarty, Louis Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, our good friend Missy Setters joining us from the Independence Bowl, the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. Missy, good morning.
Very good. Thank you. Doing well this morning. How are y'all?
Well, we're doing great. What a beautiful morning. It's looking forward to a great lineup again this year. And how many years is one of this is one of the longest running bowl games in the country now?
Yes, we're the 11th oldest bowl game.
1976 was the very first one.
Yes, it was. This is our 49th year this year for the game, and next year will be our 50th anniversary. We'll be celebrating that with the Rebel, too. It'll be their 50th.
Congratulations. Great news. So, any updates? What can you tell us? What are we looking at?
You know, we're just at the halfway point or just past the halfway point, so we're starting to look at teams from the Big 12 and Conference USA to see who might be in the mix, and it's still wide open. There's too many teams in there to figure it out. But watching a lot of games, starting to plan some selection committee trips, and build relationships with the teams that could be in the mix, and trying to finalize everything for the game as far from events during bowl week to concessions to everything that you can think of. So it's a lot of fun this time of year. It's also a lot of work, but it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. What is being done to make the Independence Bowl an economic spark plug for Northwest Louisiana again? Obviously, there's been declining attendance. And I guess the obvious question is, more folks need to come to the Independence Bowl. But what is being done? Because I know that is obviously something you all have been looking at for a number of years and working very hard to turn around.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting too, because if you look across the board for the majority of the bowl games, attendance has been the point that everybody's trying to focus on. We learned at our bowl season meetings, annual organizational meetings in April, that local support here, percentage-wise, is pretty good, but we always need more. In a small market like us, we need more. So it's just like with anything, embrace it in your community. It's part of quality of life. It's something that a lot of communities mm-hmm. across the country don't have. We had an economic impact from the 2023 game of $30 million. And that was done by an independent group out of South Louisiana that did that study for the state. So it's a huge economic impact. And that was just based on the game. That's not based on all of the events that we do through the year, you know, the staff that you have, and the trickle down from that. So it's big, and it's big for our community, and it's something that's important. And it's 3.5 hours live on ESPN for us to showcase our community. And, you know, we have multiple people that we partner with to go out during bowl week and get what we call B-roll so that they can show the community on ESPN during the broadcast. So
love seeing those.
Yeah, the billboards leading in. You know, you want to see Municipal. You want to see Barksdale. You want to see, you know, teams having fun in the East Bank and having fun in Shreveport at the Convention Center for the big game show. You want to see those things highlight your community. And that ESPN broadcast gives us an opportunity that's priceless. And so we work really hard to feed them as much as we can, but also to set it up for the fans that are thinking about coming into the game and the local people. We concession-wise this year, ASM Global is going to be doing the traditional concessions that you expect at a football game, but we also have Sonic, PJ's, Pizza Hut, Louisiana Smokehouse, Lila's Bakery, and hopefully a couple more that are going to be in the concession stands.
Nice.
So give them traditional food they like, but give them a little bit of Louisiana too, because that's what people expect. And so, you know, when you go to a football game and you can get a piece of king cake, you know, that's pretty cool.
And it's more than just a football game, Missy Setters, with the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. You've got at least a full week, a slate full of activities lined up.
We do. We start with when the teams come in on Friday the 26th this year, we'll have the big game show and welcome party for them. We have Fork and Port comes in and does this huge spread, whole hog, bacon-wrapped alligator, shrimp from Louisiana seafood, boiled shrimp, jambalaya, all the fixins. We work with local schools to do some of the sides, and we'll have this big, huge spread that would rival something you see on Food Network. And they see that, and it's like, okay, we're going to get some great food. And then we have our big game show. And we have our FCA breakfast, which is open to the public on the 27th. And then we'll do some community service stuff with the teams. They'll go out to Barksdale and tour out there. They'll go to Holy Angels. We'll have Ladies Day out for the spouses. And some of the administrators would do Kids Day out. We take them all over town. We take them to Cyport, Bellinonas. They have lunch here. Take the kids to Holiday Lanes. I think we're taking them to Surge this year in Sports Cards, Louisiana. So we want to show them the community. We want to show them the great things we have going on here. And we want them to go back and say, you know what, the hospitality there was better than anything I've ever seen. And we hear that over and over.
And we do hear that a lot. Yes.
And then.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So we also have Rally on the Red in the East Bank District. That's our mini Mardi Gras parade, our Battle of the Bands, fireworks show,
yes,
and concert. And then game day, we have Fan Fest. All of that is free and open to the public, too. So, like I said, quality of life, all those things matter. And they matter from an economic impact standpoint. They matter from, you know, if you look at the last few weeks, the Revel, Prize Fest, all the things we have going on, the State Fair coming up. I don't know how you can say that you're bored. I really don't.
No, absolutely. So much there. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that list just goes on and on and on. Obviously, you all put so much work into this. You know I may be focused on the wrong thing here as far as, you know, in terms of attendance, but I want to see every single seat in Independence Stadium completely filled. For game day, I want those cameras to pan across Independence Stadium and it just be packed to the gills. Now, my question to you, and I know that you study this, you've been doing this a very long time. You've been looking at other bowl games that are also very successful. What are their communities doing differently? Because you put all the effort in, you put all the planning, you and your board, you all are doing all of those great things. But what can we as a community, what do you wish the community would do differently that you have seen successful in other communities to pack out their stadiums for their bowl games?
Well, and you look at obviously you look at market size, but when you're in a small market, you have to work that much harder. What I would say is we're basically having a 4-day festival. This is not just a football game. And the football game matters, but it's a 4-day festival. Get invested in that and those things, and then hopefully you're going to want to go see a quality football game. And, you know, we've had some great matchups in this game. We've hosted some of the top programs in college football. We had Texas Tech 2 years ago, and you look at where they're ranked right now. Now, they did just have a loss, but you look at the program they've put together, and I will say they are a blueprint right now for how to use NIL to build a program, too. So I think you guys talk about it a lot. If you're positive about your community and you're looking for the positive things, then I think you're a more joyful, happy person, and you enjoy the things in your community. And so we're trying to put together events and a bowl game that people can have fun and then enjoy themselves, bring out family, bring out friends. And you know, we work together with the State Fair. We work together with the Revel on different things. And it's important for us to be partner. And so we just ask people, give it a shot, come out. You're going to be sitting in brand new chairbacks. If you have chairback tickets, you're going to be sitting in brand new chairbacks this year, too. And those are all being replaced in the stadium. So come out and check out the cool chairs, you know, any little thing in the world. But we want people to get invested in it. We're an organization that's membership driven. And those members are the majority of our volunteers for a lot of our events. Come get involved. Or if you just want, you know, to come enjoy the football game and enjoy the food we have at the concession stands, please do that. But get invested in the community and help support the things that are here. You never want to lose anything. And in hindsight, it's always 20/20, as we say. So come out and enjoy it. We try to make it fun. There's a lot going on during the game, and it's a lot of fun for people, so give it a try.
It's so easy to be negative, but we've got so much to be positive about, and this is one of them, the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl, December 30th this year. Missy, we are very excited. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate y'all. Thank you for the time.
And we'll talk to you again as we get closer and we get a more of a bead on what teams will be lined up. We'll be back in touch.
Thank y'all so much, and y'all have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Louis Avalone in for Aaron, Mike, and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel.
Back of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I have to be honest, I haven't kept up with the whole Tinseltown rats.
Yeah.
Apparently they're... Now, if they're finding this... Okay, first of all, tell me what's going on. Hundreds of rats in Tinseltown?
Our good friend Chica wrote this up, and you can find it on our website at keelnews.com.
Okay.
And from what I understand, they went in for an inspection. The health department went in for an inspection, found rat droppings, dead rats, live rats, the whole nine. Gave them a little while to clean it up and came back and saw the same rats stuck in traps, droppings everywhere still. And when they were looking in...
So they didn't even clean up the original rats.
I've read, it doesn't sound like it. And... granted, that location, it's kind of butted up next to a big field and kind of a wooded area. It would be tough to keep the rats out. But if you're proactive enough, you can
well,
do it.
Well, yeah. Remember there was a Chinese restaurant on Kings Highway?
Yeah.
That me and some buddies, we used to go every Tuesday. And that was just Chinese Day, and that's what we did. And then when that happened, and we got to know the owner, his name was Henry, and he was just such a nice guy.
Right.
And then that happened. I think Channel 3 broke that story of the rats.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Channel 3 broke this one too.
And it ended up killing his business.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Would you be able to go to a movie and enjoy a movie wondering if a rat was going to scurry across your feet?
I crawl up my pant leg.
No.
I don't like that.
Especially not going to go order popcorn now.
And this is the first time.
Which is heartbreaking.
I never put two and two together that they make food and serve food, so they're subject to health.
Right.
The health inspection.
I was going to say that. You don't think about the health department going to a movie theater.
No, and I think the thing is now that Tinseltown actually serves like real food. Like I think you can go in there and get a burger now and stuff. I know you can get like cocktails.
Oh, wow.
If you're of age.
I think I remember that.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe the scrutiny came a little harder when they started serving like grilled food or heated up food other than popcorn and hot dogs, I guess.
Wow.
And so
it'll be interesting because people aren't real forgiving on rats.
No. Especially that idea in a movie theater, especially if it's
in
crowded
the dark,
and you're trapped and somebody starts panicking. It's not a good look. You need to get it taken care of. Please work on it.
Right. I just got a text from the group that we went on Tuesdays, and he goes, all I think of is that's where we went on Tuesdays. No questions asked.
No questions asked.
That was it. Tuesdays was a Taste of China, I think it was.
Oh, Lord.
He was so nice.
Rats is a really bad look. And again, that location there butted up against a field and some woods. It's probably tough to keep the rats out.
Yeah,
if you're serving food of any kind.
We went back after he closed down to clean up the Chinese restaurant, and we thought, well, this is the cleanest place in town, and I'm going back.
Yeah.
And the owner, he was an older Asian guy, and his name was Henry.
Yeah.
And so when we went back, and of course after that, he didn't last long. And one of the last times we were there, I brought my soy sauce bottle up to the counter, and I told Henry, I said, look, put this on my ticket. I said, I want to keep this as a as a, you know, a souvenir. Did
it had the name of the restaurant on it?
No, it was just a Kiko Man, regular standard Kiko Man soy sauce bottle. And he goes, no, Mike, you just take that. You can keep that. I said, no, I'll pay you for it. He goes, I own Chinese restaurant. I have lots of them.
He has soy sauce to spare. He's got
okay,
plenty.
Okay, you put it like that.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I still have that to this day, by the way. Yeah, kind of sad. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Louisiana education, you know what? Much better than you think. Dr. Philip Roseman going to join us coming up after the news top of the hour. Louis Avalone in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. Seven FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Louis Avalone in for Aaron in studio this morning. Dr. Philip Roseman, cardiologist here in town. People might go, well, what's he got to do with education? You've been actively involved in education in Caddo and Bossier parishes for many, many years. You founded Alliance for Education. Scott, our friend Scott Hughes worked for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Back in, and it's that purpose was to.
Well, really, we were talking about changes that we thought needed to be done in education in our state, and we made a lot of those changes over time in the advocacy work over the last 30 years. And, you know, it's actually fun to watch some of it come to fruition and there be significant improvements, I think, in our education system. I don't think we can blame our education system as the end-all and of problems anymore. I think there's a lot of positive things going on there and around the state. I'm excited about Louisiana's what.
Well, and we've recently had Dr. Cade Brumley on, and he talked about some of these improvements. And people might say, well, yeah, but you can manipulate the numbers. You can make yourself look better. But some of these figures that you've brought in, these are really, really impressive.
No, yeah, it truly is real numbers, real research, real comparisons, truly apples to apples, oranges to oranges type of things that we need to do and have look positive for what's going on in our policy in our state.
And according to the rankings in this report, you have the cumulative overall rankings. Louisiana ranked number 5 in all states. Tell me about that.
This is a Heritage Foundation study. It's well researched, and it looked at education freedom, just the area of freedom of education for families, and they had subcategories, and I think those are important of education choice. School choice, transparency within the education system, freedom of teachers, which is extremely important when you talk to them about, you know, whether they're happy in their jobs, and community return on investment, which has a lot to do, of course, with how well you use tax money, and civics education, which is a big deal for me because for the last probably 10 or 20 years, it's gotten lost.
Yes, and I remember civics class.
Yeah. And I think that is something that got buried under all the other mandates that we didn't pay any attention to the fact that we weren't teaching the kids anything about how government works. And that's not a good thing. And we weren't teaching social studies very well. It's not a good thing. So there's been changes in that, positive changes.
When you talk about teacher freedom, what does that mean?
Freedom to teach. I've during the time that I've worked in education advocacy, a lot of it is listening because I'm a doctor. I'm not an expert in education. I have to listen to the educators. What teachers will talk about more than anything else, probably even more than their paycheck, They talk about the freedom they have to teach in their classrooms. Teacher freedom, I think, is addressed, been addressed by Dr. Brumley with a group that he put together of, you know, great teachers around the state under this aspect of let teachers teach. And they came up with a number of really neat recommendations about what systems can do to reduce the bureaucracy for teachers, to reduce the paperwork, and to do those things. And I think those are being, that's just recent, but I think those are going to make, have a big impact on, quote, teacher freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Dr. Roseman, Louisiana education is rarely near the bottom of state rankings any longer. I mean, it's we're leading in innovation in many instances, you know, and we focus on the brick and mortar and we focus on the teachers. And sometimes that is all that we talk about. How much of a child's home life or parental involvement contributes to the success of that student and obviously to our rankings nationwide?
Well, it's huge. It's huge. And we live in a state that's high in poverty. So it's a real issue. The school has the children only for a certain length of time. The rest is at home. And by the same token, we've had a huge issue with truancy. And that in elementary school is strictly a parent issue. Getting children up and getting them to school has become a major issue that schools are now having to fight, because you can't, the child can't learn if they're not in school. It's not going to happen. So
why is that though? What have you found that is the common denominator of parents who are not making or otherwise ensuring that their child gets to school?
It's COVID. We're still
dealing with COVID.
We're dealing with the issue of COVID, and it totally impacted how adults view school. It became, rather than I have to do it, to, well, I think I may have to do it, or I may not do it today. I don't feel good about today. It's a lot of it has to do with the fact that we had so much time off of school. Parents got used to that, is the best I can do. As to why it's so noticeable. So that was a huge issue, and it has been nationally. It's not just here. Mm-hmm. It's national, and it's because of the COVID time and the COVID and what we did in response to COVID, which was
a travesty,
dumb thing to do, the way we handled it.
Yeah. Dr. Philip Roseman in studio talking about the state of education in Louisiana. We're going to take a break. You can hold with us. I know you've got to head east.
Love to.
Hold with us, and we'll be back in just a moment. Louis Avalone in for Aaron, Mike, and McCarty. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Dr. Philip Roseman in studio. Louis Avalone in for Aaron. By the way, she was texting already this morning. She's got released to work from home,
right?
So she was already working. What, you got an email that was
she's back writing the news again.
Timestamp 2:30 in the morning.
2:30 this morning.
4:30 she was sending emails. So
go to bed.
She's at it. Yeah, she's at it. She's doing great, and she'll be back toward the middle of next week. Thank you, Louis, for stepping in.
My pleasure.
Just a real quick update. Dr. Roseman is very active in education. I just lost my word. Promoting education.
Activist.
You brought up a point about the Louisiana Economic Development just has $5 million now to market Louisiana, and you'd like to see them use that money how?
Yeah, the legislature, a lot of the legislators got elected and talked about the need for Louisiana to have a better image of itself. We often are very negative about our state. We talk negative about our state, and that's, that just builds on itself. So one of the things that I've been personally concerned about for the last 30 years, really, is that issue. A group that I'm the board chair, which is Better Louisiana, I think he was, the CEO was here earlier on this week, I think. But we're talking about, you know, what we need to do to make a difference in that area. And oftentimes we spend that money trying to tell our story to the rest of the nation. And what our feeling is, to some degree, we need to tell that story also to us.
Right.
So that we're talking to each other about what's going on, the positive things that are going on in Louisiana in education, okay, but in other areas, in economic development.
Yes.
And the work they're doing with the Workforce Commission, they're revamping the DOTD. There is a lot of things going on that are very positive. And some of those things that are being done positive is because they're being done within the agencies. So we need to pay attention to what we're doing within these agencies in order to tell our story to Louisiana, to those of us that live here.
Well, I even said yesterday, I just said it yesterday, people are going to look at how we feel about ourselves when they're looking from the outside and make their judgment based on what we're saying.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. You know, I trained in Charleston, South Carolina, which is many, many years ago, 30, 40 years ago. They had a mayor there, and they had no term limits. That mayor stayed the mayor there for 40 years. And he was constantly talking about Charleston. Charleston, when I was there, was not the beautiful city that it is right now. And they changed it. And people in Charleston talk a great deal positively about Charleston. And now Charleston is one of the places to go.
I think about who does that locally? Mayor Tommy Chandler. You introduce yourself to Mayor Chandler. It's a great day in Bossier City. Where, you know, he's always positive,
always promoting,
And Mayor Arsenault the same way.
Absolutely.
And
you got to do that.
Yeah, you got to do it. And we need to do it.
And what's the
business
perception?
Community needs to do
what's
it.
What's the perception of Texas?
It's a great state.
It's a great state.
Everything's
because
going
that's
great.
What they're promoting. Of course, they have problems. Florida has problems. But they're promoting the positives, and we need to do a better job of that.
You know, one of the simple things that I'll tell you, my girls both married Texas guys because they went to college in Texas. I didn't know this, but in Texas, you don't just do the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. And when you're in elementary school, you do the Pledge of Allegiance to the Texas flag. So they, from the beginning, are talking about how great Texas is. We need to do the same thing here. There's nothing wrong with Louisiana. In fact, there's a lot of positive things to say about Louisiana. And, you know, we need to, as a business community, I'm talking about us, we need to start talking about some of the positive things of why we're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. I know you gotta head over. Thank you so much for driving all the way out here, opposite direction of where you're going today.
Well, thank you very much, and thank y'all for what y'all do about spreading the positive things about our state. I hear it on your show. I hear it on Lewis's show, and it's a really positive thing. Once you know it's working.
Thank you so much. Coming up, speaking of positive things, groundbreaking coming up tomorrow in Ruston, Louisiana, a brand new Buc-ee's. And there's a story on KeelNews.com. Wonder who wrote that. About, it's more than just a gas station. That development, it signifies some real positive economic growth for our entire state. And we'll talk to the mayor in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710Keel.
It's, of course, we know Buc-ee's is coming to Ruston. And we were just talking about, like you said, they need to have what now?
Yeah, well, they need to have a Louisiana Tech Bulldog, you know, because at Buc-ee's you've got the beaver,
right?
That is out, you know, front. Sure. If you've been to any of these Buc-ee's, it's a giant beaver, right? Well, you need an equally sized Louisiana Tech Bulldog to reflect, you know, it's a college town.
Right, right. You know they're going to have Tech merchandise. You'll be able to buy Tech
of
shirts,
course,
and stuff.
Sure.
Stores wisely localize themselves a lot of times.
And Louisiana-themed type apparel and furnishings.
And the history of Buc-ee's actually goes back to South Louisiana. I think the grandfather had a store in Catahoula Parish. That's how the whole concept got started. Now, why they ended up in Texas, that's another story. But we'll talk to the Ruston mayor. They do have a big groundbreaking ceremony tomorrow. So we'll talk to him right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You know, I used to say Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser has the greatest job in the world. But I may have to kind of switch that here. Ruston Mayor Ronnie Walker, he's got to be pretty up there as well. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning to you. I hope you're having a great day.
We're having a fantastic day. I know you are. Exciting news for tomorrow. And we talk about this, of course, Buc-ee's groundbreaking ceremony is tomorrow, and it's going to be a game changer for not only Ruston but that entire area. But Mayor, I know that came after a lot of hard work.
Yeah, it was about it took us about 2 years to actually get to the point of announcing they were coming. But then it's taken another 2.5 years to get through all the. You know, we had to redesign the entire interchange, a lot of road work plus water, sewer, electricity. So the city's been working on all of that for about 2.5 years, and we've actually let the contracts on the road and all of that about 6 months ago.
Nice.
So things are moving really fast now.
So, Mayor, why Ruston? I'm surely they considered other cities along the I-20 corridor, I would think. And if they did, can you share with us what other cities were in contention and why they ultimately chose Ruston?
I have no idea what other cities were looked at. I mean, I know Lafayette is getting one. I don't know of any other cities that were involved. I think several things played into Ruston's hand. First, the distance from Terrell, Texas to us is kind of their average distance between stores that they want. You know, we don't have the traffic when you just look at I-20 that Terrell, Texas has, but when you add 167 and 33, which are north-south roads that run through Ruston, we actually have more traffic that potentially can go to Buc-ee's versus what they have in Terrell, Texas.
Really?
That was a big piece of it also. So we were about 10,000 cars less than Terrell, but then when you add 167 and 33, we actually were like 15,000 more cars a day. So that was a big change.
Very nice. Now, the groundbreaking is tomorrow. What can you tell me about that?
It's going to be at 10:30 versus 11. We had to move it up a little bit. So that's at 10:30. It'll be on site. We expect a huge crowd, of course, and of course Beaver will be here, the CEO and founder of Buc-ee's. Great guy. He and I hit it off 3 years ago when we started talking, and is a great friend, and look forward to having him here to officially start all this process. And I want to thank, while I'm talking about it, you know, one, just the city of Ruston. Yes, we were the front runners on it and getting everything done. But the school board, the police jury, the sheriff, the assessor of our parish, all of those were involved in the pilot program that we did. So I want to be sure and say thank you to them. And also, we have partnered with Gramlin. Gramlin's only 3 miles away. So we have partnered with them, and I appreciate Mayor Bradley and his entire city council helping us with the frontage road project also.
Now, Mayor, I know a lot of consumers are excited, and it sounds like some of the government officials that worked so diligently to bring Buc-ee's to Ruston are excited about this. What about the business community in terms of, have they welcomed Buc-ee's? Are they excited about that? Do they feel like that's going to add to their business or detract from their business?
Well, I think first thought was, oh my goodness, this might detract some. But when you consider we'll have, what they're telling us anyway, 15,000 cars a day stopping in Ruston, that's probably 99% of those have never stopped in Ruston before. So when you consider all of our businesses now have a chance to get some of those 15,000 cars to come to their shops, it's like I tell people all the time, I love Buc-ee's chopped beef sandwich, but if I'm on a road trip, I may not want to sit in my car and eat that sandwich. I may want to get out and sit at a restaurant somewhere. So we're going to be doing a lot of work from a city standpoint to try to get those visitors to Buc-ee's to come to downtown Ruston, to go to our military museum, to visit Louisiana Tech. And the same thing with Grambling. Drive through the Grambling campus. Go visit the Eddie Robinson Museum. So we're going to do a lot of work from a city standpoint, a parish standpoint, to try to get these visitors, not to just stop at Buc-ee's only, but to stop at other places within our parish.
Absolutely. Talking with Ruston Mayor Ronnie Walker. Mayor, I know the founder is Arch Beaver Applin, right?
Correct.
And that's where the beaver comes from. A lot of people may not go, why is there a beaver? Why do they have a – but that's his nickname, right?
From what the story I heard was that was the nickname he had when he was a young person that just has stuck with him all over his life.
Now, you said things are progressing well, groundbreaking tomorrow. We've already seen bulldozers out there, and they are clearing some land, so this is a ceremonial action tomorrow. But you say things are moving forward. Can you give us a timeline now? Have they nailed anything down?
Well, the prediction is 15 to 17 months is the construction time it would take. So, you know, that looks to me like first quarter of 2027.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. A lot of jobs, well-paying jobs, a great company, and it's going to change the face of Ruston in Northeast Louisiana. And we're excited for you, Mayor.
Well, we appreciate that very much. You know, this is the second big announcement we've had in 2 months. We announced the first microchip facility 2 months ago.
Right.
We've had, and actually this week, we have two other companies. We had a company in yesterday, and we've got a company coming on Friday. Then next week, we've got another company coming to look. So, you know, the excitement is not just for Buc-ee's, but it's for the entire region as we recruit more and more companies to come to this great part of the city, of the state.
Congratulations, Mayor, and have a great day tomorrow and a great weekend.
We'll do it. Thank you all so much for your support.
Thank you, Ruston Mayor Ronnie Walker, Mike and McCarty, Louis Avalonian for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 KU.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KU.
Louis Avalonian for Aaron, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KU. The announcement a couple weeks ago about the Super Bowl halftime show, Bad Bunny, which I honestly, I really don't care, don't generally watch the halftime show. I haven't watched that in years. Didn't know who Bad Bunny was until the announcement, quite frankly. But the reaction nationwide, Louis Avalone, your co-host with Stephen Parr, you guys do a show, your show, American Ground, is basically across the country.
Absolutely.
Including New York City. Do you get feedback on from other areas on the halftime show? Has it been kind of what I'm thinking?
Well, a lot of our listeners don't know who Bad Bunny is. And, you know, they're more traditional. I mean, obviously, the NFL wants to be cutting edge and pushing the envelope, so to speak, in terms of, you know, what is popular, especially among young people. Because, look, I mean, they're at the same time, the NFL is, you know, they're advertising their brand to the next generation of viewers, of fans.
Well, and they put their games on Nickelodeon, for crying out loud, after this, the big woke kickback on the NFL. And, of course, not surprisingly, amidst the negative reports about the halftime show, Roger Goodell is pretty much doubling down on the NFL's decision on the halftime show.
You know, and I guess what is so troubling to some degree, or I guess disappointing to me, is that, you know, the Super Bowl is an institution in many ways, an American institution. And the halftime show becomes part of that that national ritual of American football. And you have families that tune in living rooms and tailgates, at reunions, where they get together, and you've got, you know, folks of all ages. And if the entertainment is not age appropriate, and what are you doing broadcasting certain images around the world? Because that's how the rest of the world views America. A lot of times they get their images, obviously, and have for many, many decades, from television, and now, of course, online.
Well, and what has really gained traction is the fact that Charlie Kirk's organization, Turning Point, is offering an alternative Super Bowl halftime show. They're calling the All-American Family Halftime Show. Okay, I love that.
Let me ask you something.
We got 20 seconds.
Are we being fuddy-duddies about this? I mean, seriously. I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, and that's what I don't care.
I'm asking a rhetorical, plain devil's advocate here. Is it a big deal? Or are we being fuddy duddies?
Probably not in the grand scheme of things. No, but I'm tired of woke ideology being shoved down our throats. And for there to be an alternative, I absolutely love that. An alternative that the people actually want. We'll talk about that more later next hour. Micah McCarty, Louis Avalone, in for Aaron, 101.7 FM's 710 Key. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Louis Avalone in for Aaron. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Caddo Parish Commissioner Chris Crackman joining us. Chris, first of all, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Morning, Mike and Thomas's brother.
Well, that's just wrong.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Chris, let's go back to how this all started. You got a lawsuit brought against you basically for some comments you made, I think, with us, but maybe in some other areas as well.
It's
right?
Your fault, Mike.
I know,
it's
right?
Your fault.
Yeah, I got sued for my conversation with you and Aaron, and talking about, you know, the employment of illegal aliens and a ICE raid and all this other stuff, you know, just general business practices that they have up there. But
and we're talking about the truck stop up in Houston in your district.
Right. And you know, the Homeland Security alleged that they had an ICE raid and there were witnesses and a few other things. And so, you know, as far as I could tell, I was speaking the truth. And I got sued for it, and which I would think, you know, being on the radio show, and I know you, Mike, you said, you know, Commissioner Chris Crackman, I don't know, about 18 times. And so you would think that me coming on the radio show at my official capacity, that I would have some kind of protection by Parish Legal, but according to Parish Legal, it wasn't.
Right. Speaking as a commissioner for the parish.
Right. Not, I don't think Chris Crackman would go on, you know, any radio show or news station or talk to any publication, but Commissioner Crackman would.
Okay, so since that, the lawsuit has been dropped, but you have incurred legal charges during that battle, and you feel the commission should pay for those legal fees that you've incurred.
Right. I me and everybody else would like to think that I would have some kind of indemnity, you know, to those charges since it was dropped by the plaintiffs. And why was it dropped? I mean, you know, it's because I didn't lie. I didn't defame anyone. There was nothing extraordinary that happened in that interview. I hear people say a lot of more risky things on a daily basis than what I said or alleged or whatever, but there was no falsehoods told. It was just a standard radio interview about a 2% sales tax that I stand here today and am still against.
Okay, so in the work session, I believe Monday, for the Caddo Parish Commission, this was brought up. Commissioner Grace Ann Blake brought up the question about why isn't the commission paying for your legal fees, and it got rather contentious.
Well, you know, it's funny that it did because, you know, you have Commissioner Blake and Administrator Bryant that are having dialogue about my lawsuit, which was unbeknownst to me, and that's fine. Because it affects all of us as commissioners.
Sure.
You know, now every commissioner can listen to any radio interview or turn down a radio interview knowing that they have zero protection to what they may or may not say. And that's what I heard in Commissioner Blake's questions and Commissioner Atkins' questions. I heard them asking, are we going to have any protection if we get in the same kind of scenario? And the answer now, as of yesterday, is no. No, you don't. If you go on any interview at your official capacity, you have zero protection as to what you may or may not say. But what the Democratic Party heard was Chris Crackman, innocent. And I don't think they liked that very much. And I think what the appropriate thing to do would have been after Commissioner Blake's comments for our president to say, you know, I would like to proceed with caution. It's a legal matter. The attorney is not present. Whatever. Well, but no, instead, we waited until John Atkins had further questions or dialogue, should I say, with our administrator. And we called point of order because we didn't like the subject matter. And when I say we, I mean the Democratic Party didn't like the subject matter, and they wanted it to stop immediately.
And that was what I was going to say. They called point of order when John Atkins brought up the question and was furthering the questioning. And Stormy Gage Watts shut it down, basically. Now,
when Grace Ann Blake raised point of order.
Well, Stormy actually called point of order first against Commissioner Atkins, which is what kind of triggered Grace and, you know, Commissioner Blake. But before that, though, Chris Crackman, Caddo Parish Commissioner, they had said, you see what I did there? They had said, well, we don't have the documentation yet, the legal documentation on the lawsuit and the lawsuit being dropped. So what was the status on that? So they didn't deny. I didn't see where they like denied that they were going to pay legal fees, but they said they didn't have all the documentation.
Right. They didn't have the ruling yet or the dismissal yet because the attorney has been out of the office. And that's okay. And like I said, that's fine. And now I have that answer. I got that answer yesterday. And the answer is no. It's a big fat no. But what is important here is that we had two commissioners that were having dialogue with our administrator, and they were shut out for it because the other side didn't like the conversation. And I don't know if it's the fact that I'm innocent that they don't like to talk about, or it's the fact that my legal fees may be covered by the parish that they didn't like talking about. But the fact still stands is we have all this venom and vitriol that's coming from our executives on the Caddo Parish Commission body, but their legal fees are covered. And that's what makes this whole deal curious, is that we have seven Democrats out of seven Democrats on the commission whose legal fees are paid for taking an action at an anti-Donald Trump rally, but I get sued for a run-of-the-mill interview, and I get nothing. And my concern is did our legal staff even look at the facts? Did they even listen to the interview on this show? And I believe the answer is no. I believe that they took the attorney's word for it. They took the suit's word for it and said, no, it was definitely not in your official capacity. And it's a shame, and it's ironic that the attempt was to silence me on an issue, and now we have commissioners asking about my legal fees, and they're being silenced. And so it's like, how many times are we going to deal with this issue of conservative speech being silenced, especially when we have commissioners that are physically silencing another commissioner? We have a commissioner that reaches over and turns a microphone off in the middle of a debate. So that is not okay.
So, Commissioner Crackman, I've got two questions for you. Number one, have you submitted your legal bills for reimbursement to the commission officially?
I haven't submitted the bills specifically. I've just submitted the dismissal and the simple question, am I covered?
Okay.
And the answer was a simple no.
All right. So the second question is, and obviously you were represented by counsel. In your consultation with counsel, have they indicated that if, in fact, this is deemed to be your actions, your statements were deemed to be or arose out of your official function and that you are exonerated, is it mandatory that the parish reimburse your legal fees, or is it discretionary?
No, it's my understanding that if it was ruled by the judge that I was acting in official capacity, that they would indeed have to reimburse me for my fees. And that's the tricky situation here, is because we have a dismissal. However, the attorney says, or the parish attorney says, that I am not being reimbursed because I wasn't acting in my official capacity. It says nothing about the judge's ruling at all, which is, you know, that's curious as well. The whole deal, it stinks to high heaven, and it probably wouldn't, and I would, you know, probably write it off a lot easier had the other commissioners not be represented for something so silly.
Commissioner Chris Crackman, I've got one more question, but we're against the clock. Can you hold with us for just a moment?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, we'll be back. Commissioner Chris Crackman talking with Micah McCarty, Louis Avalone, and for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Caddo Parish Commissioner Chris Crackman joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. I've got a question before I get to that, though. Let me ask you this, Commissioner Crackman. What would you have done had somebody leaned over and turned off your mic during the debate?
Well, listen, that's a great question that I don't think I should answer. I don't think it would be appropriate because, you know, all of us folks way up here in the north, we do things a little bit differently. We're not quite as diplomatic as others. But I'll say this, that's a great question for the folks that are okay with this. What would they have done if somebody got up and turned their microphone off? What would, you know, what would Ron Cawthorn have done had somebody turned his microphone off, or Greg or anybody like that? I mean, if I were to get up from my seat, go over to Stormy Gates Watts and turn her microphone off, what would have been done? It wouldn't have been pretty.
Well, then my next
and look, Grace Ann Blake had called a point of order over what I thought was an inappropriate point of order. For her to interrupt John Atkins to remind him that the attorney wasn't there was inappropriate. That could have been done before he even spoke. And so we have a point of order to a point of order, and then we more or less have a shouting match, and then we have another commissioner that's shutting off the microphone of another commissioner. Here's what I want to know. While we're talking about admonishing people, we're talking about legal matters without the attorney present, where is the admonishment for another commissioner to keep his hands to his damn self? That's important. There's got to be something to bring the temperature down, and that should have been it.
Right.
Should have let them finish their dialogue, because that's what it was. It's not like there was an argument or a debate. It was two commissioners asking our administrator appropriately what they could do about being protected in their speech, which is a very important matter. But we have our executives that don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about my innocence. They don't want to talk about us conservatives being protected in our speech. They don't want to hear it, and they're willing to go through physicality to shut off another commissioner's speech. And to me, that is astonishing. And for one commissioner to say, I admonished this conversation, but then whenever somebody shuts off another one's mic and our president says nothing, that's astonishing. That it's an embarrassment. And we have commissioners that say it every single month, that business owners look at our meetings and see how we conduct business and judge whether or not they should come to Caddo Parish. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I do know if anybody's looking in, everybody's actions matter, not just Republicans. Democrats' actions matter, too.
In the last,
and if you're willing to, and this is two, three, what, maybe four times this speech has been shut down in our meetings. It's unacceptable, and it doesn't need to happen anymore. And all of us are going to have to stand together at some point and realize the questions are about all of our protections, and nobody's speech should be shut off on the left or right.
So now, as of yesterday,
amen, as, amen.
And I agree with you. But as of yesterday, the commission has denied paying your legal fees. Are you going to bring suit against the commission to get your legal fees paid?
Well, that's a very expensive conversation I'm going to have with my attorneys. I think we're supposed to have a conference tonight to talk about what we're going to do moving forward. I think it's a shame. Well, you know, I mean, on its face, I have two choices. I can either, you know, seek a declaratory judgment, or I can sue the parish outright. And, you know, I'm unsure as to which my attorneys want to do. I haven't really spoken to that. I spoke with one of my attorneys in brief last night, but it's a discussion that we're going to have, you know, later on tonight after our meeting, given that our meeting's not until midnight.
Ruben, turn his mic off. Sorry.
Oh, that was,
don't do it.
You're pushing it. You're pushing it, Mike.
Chris, look, we'll keep in touch and we'll stay on top of this. Please keep us posted, sir.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for talking with us. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel Lewis in for Aaron.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, exciting news for Ruston, Louisiana. Big day tomorrow. We'll talk with Mayor Ronnie Walker coming up just after the break. Lewis in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I used to say Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser has the greatest job in the world, but I may have to kind of switch that here Mayor Ruston Mayor Ronnie Walker, he's got to be pretty up there as well. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning to you. I hope you're having a great day.
We're having a fantastic day. I know you are. Exciting news for tomorrow. And we talk about this, of course, Bucky's groundbreaking ceremony is tomorrow, and it's going to be a game changer for not only Ruston, but that entire area. But Mayor, I know that came after a lot of hard work.
Yeah, it was about it took us about 2 years to actually get to the point of announcing they were coming. But then it's taken another 2.5 years to get through all the, we had to redesign the entire interchange. A lot of road work plus water, sewer, electricity. So the city's been working on all of that for about 2.5 years, and we've actually let the contracts on the road and all of that about 6 months ago.
Nice.
So things are moving really fast now.
So, Mayor, why Ruston? I'm surely they considered other cities along the I-20 corridor, I would think. And if they did, can you share with us what other cities were in contention and why they ultimately chose Ruston?
I have no idea what other cities were looked at. I mean, I know Lafayette is getting one. I don't know of any other cities that were involved. I think several things played into Ruston's hand. First, the distance from Terrell, Texas to us is kind of their average distance between stores that they want. We don't have the traffic when you just look at I-20 that Terrell, Texas has. But when you add 167 and 33, which are north-south roads that run through Ruston, we actually have more traffic that potentially can go to Bucky's versus what they have in Terrell, Texas.
Really?
That was a big piece of it also. So we were about 10,000 cars less than Terrell, but then when you add 167 and 33, we actually were like 15,000 more cars a day. So that was a big change.
Very nice. Breaking is tomorrow. What can you tell me about that?
It's going to be at 10:30 versus 11. We had to move it up a little bit. So that's at 10:30. It'll be on site. We expect a huge crowd, of course. And, of course, Bieber will be here, the CEO and founder of Bucky's. Great guy. He and I hit it off 3 years ago when we started talking, and is a great friend, and look forward to having him here to officially start all this process. And I want to thank, while I'm talking about it, it won just the city of Ruston. Yes, we were the front runners on it and getting everything done, but the school board, the police jury, the sheriff, the assessor of our parish, all of those were involved in the pilot program that we did. So I want to be sure and say thank you to them. And also, we have partnered with Gramlin. Gramlin's only 3 miles away. So we have partnered with them, and I appreciate Mayor Bradley and his entire city council helping us with the frontage road project also.
Now, Mayor, I know a lot of consumers are excited, and it sounds like some of the government officials that worked so diligently to bring Bucky's to Ruston are excited about this. What about the business community in terms of, have they welcomed Bucky's? Are they excited about that? Do they feel like that's going to add to their business, detract from their business?
Well, I think first thought was, oh my goodness, this might detract some. But when you consider we'll have, what they're telling us anyway, 15,000 cars a day stopping in Ruston, that's probably 99% of those have never stopped in Ruston before. So when you consider all of our businesses now have a chance to get some of those 15,000 cars to come to their shops, it's like I tell people all the time, I love Bucky's chopped beef sandwich, but if I'm on a road trip, I may not want to sit in my car and eat that sandwich. I may want to get out and sit at a restaurant somewhere. So we're going to be doing a lot of work from a city standpoint to try to get those visitors to Bucky's to come to downtown Ruston, to go to our military museum, to visit Louisiana Tech. And the same thing with Grambling. drive through the Grambling campus, go visit the Eddie Robinson Museum. So we're going to do a lot of work from a city standpoint, a parish standpoint, to try to get these visitors, not to just stop at Bucky's only, but to stop at other places within our parish.
Absolutely. Talking with Ruston Mayor Ronnie Walker. Mayor, I know the founder is Arch Beaver Applin, right?
Correct.
And that's where the beaver comes from. A lot of people may not go, why is there a beaver? Why do they have a but that's his nickname, right?
From what the story I heard was that was the nickname he had when he was a young person that just has stuck with him all over his life.
Now, you said things are progressing well, groundbreaking tomorrow. We've already seen bulldozers out there, and they are clearing some land, so this is a ceremonial action tomorrow. But you say things are moving forward. Can you give us a timeline now? Have they nailed anything down?
Well, the prediction is 15 months, 15 to 17 months is the construction time it would take. So, you know, that looks to me like first quarter of 2027.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. A lot of jobs, well-paying jobs, a great company, and it's going to change the face of Ruston in Northeast Louisiana. And we're excited for you, Mayor.
Well, we appreciate that very much. You know, this is the second big announcement we've had in 2 months. We announced the first microchip facility 2 months ago.
Right.
We've had, and actually this week, we have two other companies. We had a company in yesterday, and we've got a company coming on Friday. Then next week, we've got another company coming to look. So, you know, the excitement is not just for Bucky's, but it's for the entire region as we recruit more and more companies to come to this great part of the city, the state.
Congratulations, Mayor, and have a great day tomorrow and a great weekend.
We'll do it. Thank you all so much for your support.
Thank you, Ruston Mayor Ronnie Walker, Mike and McCarty, Louis Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Talked about the big groundbreaking in Ruston, Louisiana tomorrow. We've got a groundbreaking going on here this morning at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, at the Shreveport Police Substation, Cedar Grove Substation, right there, at the corner of,
I think it's
70th.
Right, and basically 70th and pretty much I-49 right there.
And someone was telling me that that's the old
St. Vincent.
Is it St. Vincent? Possibly. It may, in fact. But someone was telling me that it is the old Cedar Grove ball fields. And if I remember well enough, I remember playing there as a child, you know, as far as, you know, through the Y.
Right.
They would have, you know, we'd have games there as part of whatever league that I was a part of.
See, I was poor as a child. I played at the Why Not.
Oh, come on. But, you know, is there still some question as whether or not substations are a good idea? I think for some people, they question it. I think I questioned it at the beginning, but I'm beginning to come around to believe that they may be a good idea because, look, that's kind of the underlying principle of having the National Guard come in, is that you're putting law enforcement or you're increasing law enforcement presence in the neighborhood. And when folks know that a neighborhood is being watched and that they care about that community,
right,
crime tends to decrease. Look at what's happening in Memphis right now. It is remarkable what is happening in Memphis right now.
If you look, if you go through law enforcement training, and any law enforcement officer will reiterate this, there are levels of force. It's called the force continuum. For instance, if you're involved in an altercation with the general public as a police officer, if they start yelling at you, well, you can't take out, your baton and whack them in the head, okay? There's a level of force. You have to obey. And the very first level of force is presence. The mere presence of a police officer is considered a level of force.
And I think also Shreveport Police Chief Wayne Smith believes that it will allow the officers, you know, not to spend so much time traveling from downtown, from the headquarters, and they're already in the community. They don't have to race across town from downtown, for example, if you need reinforcements.
And I drove by North Market. That building's up. That's looking good.
It is looking sharp. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's exciting. So I like the idea. I like the idea of more police out and about in the communities. And like Chief Smith told us, like on the North Market location, it's not just a place for police officers. There's also, it's a safe place for parents to maybe
exchange kids.
And
one parent has custody, or
I think there's going to be counseling services available. I reached out to the chief earlier this morning, but he had a meeting. It was kind of late notice, so hopefully we'll get in contact with him in the next day or so and have him back on. Again, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Out. Absolutely. 100%.
Appreciate you deeply, and see you tomorrow morning. If you missed our conversation with former Mayor Cedric Glover, you can catch that at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Mike and McCarty, Lewis in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Key.